Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Tuesday edition of our program. It's great having you with us. If you were with us yesterday, you know that we've launched a two-week series, very special series that's never been broadcast before on the basics of deliverance. And boy, the first day really got us off with a shot. You know, Derek told us something very, very important, and that is that there is no word in New Testament Greek for demon-possessed. It's only demonized. Well, this solves a huge controversy for us because the big question becomes, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, no. A Christian's possessed by Jesus, filled with Jesus. But the fact is that the Bible repeatedly says that we can be demonized in the sense that there's an attachment demonically to our lives through unrepented sin. There's an attack that comes against us, our health, our finances, our family. There are many ways that the enemy can attack and attach himself in some way that is not demon possession. We've got far too much of The Exorcist and Friday the 13th or whatever going in our brains, far too much of Hollywood, far too little of the Word of God. And Derek is really cleaning this up for us. Today, he's going to really take us into a deeper understanding. And let me say also that Derek's a great guy to teach this to us because he was not only a minister of the gospel in Africa, but also for many decades here in the States. And he made the statement that he's encountered more demonic forces in the United States than he ever did in Africa. So this mentality that only primitive cultures have demonic problems really needs to be cleaned up in our understanding. Well, let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us on the basics of deliverance.
Let's look at one other picture of the ministry of Jesus, which is parallel. In fact, it describes the same incidents in Luke 4, verses 40 and 41. That's the same part of Jesus' ministry that described in Mark 1. Luke 4, 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out. We don't need to read more. See, the ministries of healing and deliverance were interwoven. They came because they were sick, but in many cases, Their cure demanded the expelling of evil spirits. And notice Jesus laid his hands on every one of them. There used to be, I don't know whether there still is today, a Pentecostal tradition that it's unscriptural to lay your hands on somebody who has an evil spirit. If that is so, then Jesus was unscriptural. And I'd rather follow his pattern than a tradition. Now, let's look on in Luke just to one other chapter. Luke 13, we find the woman who was bent double in Luke 13, verses 11 through 16. Another incident in another synagogue later on. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now notice, this was caused by a spirit of infirmity, an evil spirit that had doubled her body over so that she couldn't straighten herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Notice the word loosed indicates binding. He said that in faith. Nothing had changed. Notice that. And he laid his hands on her. Notice she had a spirit of infirmity, but he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" She was a believing woman. She was a Jewess. She was a member of the synagogue. She had this terrible physical problem. Her back was bent over. It was not primarily a physical problem. It was caused by a spirit of infirmity. And the moment the spirit of infirmity left her, she straightened up. Now that demands discernment, but I'm simply pointing out that some problems we would classify as physical are actually caused by evil spirits. Jesus also dealt with dumbness, deafness, and blindness. has been caused by evil spirits, and in many cases his ministry to heal the people was to deliver them from the spirits that caused their dumbness, their deafness, and their blindness. Now, without going into details, I have to say I have seen parallel instances in my own ministry in each of those areas. Then we read on just a little further in Luke 13, verses 31 and 32. This is the last of our glimpses of the ministry of Jesus. On that very same day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox," that's Herod, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. The third day I shall be perfected." That's a Hebraism. Today, tomorrow, and the third day means from now on until the job is finished. So he said, I'm going to be doing two things, casting out demons and performing cures. That's how he started, that's how he continued, and that's how he ended. His whole ministry, from beginning to end, included in it as a major part, probably one-third of his time, in healing the sick and casting out demons, and the two were so intertwined that it was really impossible to distinguish between them. Now, the next thing I want to say, which I will illustrate very briefly, is in the New Testament, no one was ever sent out to evangelize without first being commissioned to deal with evil spirits. There isn't an example in the New Testament. It is unscriptural to do that. Let's look at the first 12 disciples who were sent out. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Notice the first thing he did was to give them authority to deal with evil spirits. And then it says, missing out the list of the names, in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. And then it says, we're missing out the irrelevant parts, verse 6 and 7, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but don't merely preach, do something. What? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. It was included in their equipment, and it was included in their commission.
You know, one of the truths that ought to help us accept driving out the demonic as normal Christian ministry is that Jesus never commissioned his disciples, never sent anyone out, but that they were commissioned and empowered to deal with the demonic. In other words, ministry, taking the gospel to the world in the mind of Jesus, required being able, having the authority to break the demonic. That's normal Christianity. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
It's one of the most misunderstood aspects of Christian living, a topic shrouded in controversy and cloaked in fear. Perhaps that's why so few Christians ever manage to separate biblical fact from myth and fantasy. The subject, demons and demonic oppression. That's why we have combined two of Derek Prince's most helpful teachings on the subject, one a book and the other an audio series, to create one powerful resource for believers of all maturity levels. In these startling yet reassuring teachings, built upon more than 35 years of study and active ministry and deliverance, Derek Prince exposes the truth about demons and brings you proven biblical keys for battling those he calls your invisible enemies. The book, They Shall Expel Demons, has served as the gateway to freedom and authority for tens of thousands. And the 6-CD audio series titled Deliverance and Demonology brings you clear keys to receiving deliverance and permanent freedom, as well as how to share that freedom with others. If you or those you love struggle with nagging, lingering problems, this may be your key to freedom. Learn how to receive the keys to deliverance and walk in the freedom Jesus died to purchase for you. Normally $46.95 when purchased separately, you can get both resources, the 6-CD series and Derek's insightful book, for only $24.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Get the facts and walk in freedom. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thankful that you're with me today, and I hope you've been with me for every single moment of this wonderful series by Derek Prince on deliverance. You know, it's never been broadcast before. This is the first time that we've been allowed to hear this marvelous stuff on the radio waves. And so I want you to be sure to have your Bible, be sure to have something to take notes with, because we are learning about how deliverance from the demonic is the normal part, a normal accepted biblical part of Christian ministry. Let's listen.
In Luke chapter 10, we read about a further 70 who were sent out. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now we'll only turn on to verse 17. The report that the 70 brought back. And it says in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What impressed them most? They had authority over demons. They were not the 12, they were the 70. And then we look at the final commission at the end of the Gospels. First of all, in Mark 16, verse 15 and following. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He believes, is baptized, is saved. He believes not, is condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. What's the first sign? In my name they will cast out demons. He did not send them out without first making sure that they knew how to deal with demons. And in Matthew 28, the other version of the Great Commission, verses 19 and 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's told them to teach their disciples everything he taught them. And one of the main things he taught them was how to deal with evil spirits. And he said, when you make disciples, you teach them what I've taught you. And when they make disciples, they're to teach those disciples what they had been taught. And he says, I'm with you to the end of the age. He made no provision for that process to change. He envisaged the same thing going on from the time he left to the time he came back. That's his program. The tragedy is the church has departed from it. They have not improved upon it. They can't. They've simply made a disaster out of it. Now, there's only one person in the New Testament, other than Jesus, who is called an evangelist. Only one. I've counted 28 persons called apostles, but only one person called an evangelist. Isn't that remarkable? We don't hesitate to dub the title on evangelist. Anybody who isn't a pastor in the contemporary church has to be an evangelist. There are only two options, basically. Who was the evangelist? Who can tell me? Philip. Now, his ministry is described in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Philip's message was very simple. It was a one-word message. In Samaria, he preached Christ. On the road to Gaza, he preached Jesus. All right. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, because he had a well-organized committee and a choir. No. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For, what was the first thing? Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were demonized, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Notice the first thing in his ministry as an evangelist was driving out evil spirits. So I'm suggesting to you that both the pattern and the commission of Jesus leave no room for the servants of God today to go out in evangelism without first being equipped to deal with evil spirits. I don't believe you can find an example there.
could it be that one of the reasons we haven't seen greater success in ministry in our generation, although God knows we've seen a great deal of success, is that we do not pair ministry with the authority to drive out the demonic the way that Jesus did? Jesus never sent anyone out, but that he did not give them the authority to drive out the demonic. Perhaps if we bring those two back together, the proclamation of the word and the breaking of the powers of darkness, we will see the glory of God revealed in our generation. More to come, including a special interview with Christopher Selby as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
It's one of the most misunderstood aspects of Christian living, a topic shrouded in controversy and cloaked in fear. Perhaps that's why so few Christians ever manage to separate biblical fact from myth and fantasy. The subject, demons and demonic oppression. That's why we have combined two of Derek Prince's most helpful teachings on the subject, one a book and the other an audio series, to create one powerful resource for believers of all maturity levels. In these startling yet reassuring teachings, built upon more than 35 years of study and active ministry and deliverance, Derek Prince exposes the truth about demons and brings you proven biblical keys for battling those he calls your invisible enemies. The book, They Shall Expel Demons, has served as the gateway to freedom and authority for tens of thousands. And the 6-CD audio series titled Deliverance and Demonology brings you clear keys to receiving deliverance and permanent freedom, as well as how to share that freedom with others. If you, or those you love, struggle with nagging, lingering problems, this may be your key to freedom. Learn how to receive the keys to deliverance and walk in the freedom Jesus died to purchase for you. Normally $46.95 when purchased separately, you can get both resources, the 6-CD series and Derek's insightful book, for only $24.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Get the facts and walk in freedom. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me in the studio today for a special interview on this topic of deliverance, this wonderful series that Derek has been teaching us, is Christopher Selby. Christopher Selby is not only the executive producer of our program, but he also is a grandson of Derek Prince, and he moves in a deliverance ministry very powerfully, having maybe had that come into his life through his grandfather's influence. Christopher, great to have you here.
Thank you, Stephen.
You know, I'm intrigued by this whole area of deliverance, largely because the church has rejected it and not really understood it. It's been mishandled. Right. It's been abused. But why don't we start by you just telling me your own story? You have not only come into this as a part of being part of Derek Prince Ministries, but you have a personal gifting in this area as well. Tell us that story.
Well, it was the early 90s, and I was traveling in full-time ministry with the drama ministry, and we put the full in full-time ministry. It was 350 straight days on the road, and we were somewhere in the Midwest, and just spending time with our host, the host home we were staying in, just kind of staying up late talking with the host, and he began to tell me about the deliverance ministry that he had been involved with, and that was very intriguing to me. I'd listened to all of my grandfather's messages on that, read all his books. You know, it was something that was very interesting to me. And so we kind of got towards the end of the night, and everybody kind of packing it up, and I said, you know, would you pray for me? I think there's probably some areas in my life that I could need deliverance in, and he was happy to, and he prayed, and honestly nothing outwardly dramatic took place, but at the end of this prayer time I just asked him, would you join me in prayer and lay hands on me that the Lord would use me more in this ministry, and he prayed for me, and I just kind of went on my way, and we left the next day for wherever we were going. And little did I realize how seriously God was going to take that request. And the next day, a young man on our team came to me and asked for prayer for deliverance. And then a couple days later, another team member came to me asking for deliverance. And before I knew it, everyone on the team was asking me to pray for them for deliverance. And every church we were going to, and we were in five different towns a week, everywhere we were going, the Lord was bringing people who needed deliverance to us. Well, I ended up talking to my father about this, and my father, David Selby, as you know, was my grandfather's right arm for 35 years, and Derek Prince's best friend, and he told him about this. Well, then next thing I know, I get a call from my grandfather. Yeah. He had tracked me down, which was not an easy thing to do in those days before cell phones and things like that. And he said, you know, your father tells me you're ministering in deliverance. I said, I am. He said, well, welcome to the family business.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, Christopher, since you've been in this for a while, let me come from a little bit more of my academic perspective. You come from your experience background, and let's see if we can help some folks understand some things. Mm-hmm. The question used to be phrased this way, can a Christian have a demon?
Yeah.
And when people asked that question, they were thinking in terms of demonic possession, the stuff we read in the Bible where, you know, alternate voices are coming out, people are being thrown in the fire and all that kind of thing. That's not really the question that we're dealing with when it comes to deliverance. We're not talking about non-believers who are completely dominated by demons. The issue of deliverance really, as I understand it, is coming from the Greek word, which means really demonized rather than demon possessed. It's everything from, as I say humorously, the devil hiding your keys in the morning to a full-on bondage of lust in your life,
right,
or a full-on bondage of rage because you haven't repented and let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, it describes the whole range of demonic activity in the life of a believer now. Not a believer is not possessed, but just influenced by the demonic. And what we're doing is we're simply using the power of repentance and the blood of Jesus and the authority of the believer to drive off that demonic connection to some unclean place in the life of a believer. Now, is that how you understand it?
It is. And, you know, a colleague of my grandfather's, Bob Mumford, used to say, I don't believe that there's a demon behind every bush.
Yes.
I think there's two.
And you caught me on that one.
And the reality is that, you know, not everything is a demon. Not every problem that people have is that they are demonized. You know, my grandfather teaches in other places in the area of deliverance that there's two issues that can be at work. There can be the flesh, and there can be the demonic. Well, the solution for the flesh is for it to be crucified, and the solution for the demonic is for it to be cast out. And you can't cast out the flesh, and you can't crucify a demon. You have to have the appropriate solution for each one. Now, a Christian can deal with both of those, can't have an issue where the flesh is at work and needs to be crucified. But at the same time, there can be the demonic, which has to be cast out. Now, the problem is the terminology of demon-possessed has just muddied these waters to no end. And as, you know, we talked about, you know, yesterday, that Hollywood hasn't helped at all in this area. And I think we really need to focus on the way that Jesus ministered deliverance and know that that people can have to deal with the demonic in their lives in various ways.
And you know, really, the way we can identify this is by the behavior of people. And we've got to draw this to a close in a minute. We'll minister to people a little bit more down the road in this series. But if a man is constantly crawling back into the muck and the mire of a porn problem, mm-hmm. constantly being drawn back to it, giving himself to it and he might feel guilty, but not a really seriously repentant way. It's almost certain that there's a demonic attachment there. If a woman has got a horrible rage problem, I'm talking about a believer now, it's almost certain that the enemy has moved in and reinforced that through his minions. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about places where the enemy has been given a foothold, as it says in Ephesians 4, and we're simply stomping on that foot in the name of Jesus and removing that toehold. Well, Christopher, you're helping us a lot. I know you'll be back with us later in this 2-week series. Thanks a lot for being here today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. You need to listen to this over and over. DerekPrince.org. This is good stuff. It's normal Christianity, and you need to listen to it until it gels in your mind. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order the Freedom and Deliverance Package, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Purchase separately the 6-CD series on deliverance and demonology, along with Derek's classic book, Thou Shall Expel Demons, would cost $46.95. Now you can get these powerful resources at the special price of only $24.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online
at derekprince.org.